Judgment Saints, and we will continue looking at a man named Gideon, whose name means man of valor. Last week, we looked at how he learned to move from doubt to faith. Doubt, by definition, is reasoning or questioning hesitation. When it's used as a verb, it means to be without a way. It means to be thoroughly perplexed. I just don't know what to do. I'm without a clue. I have not the foggiest or faintest notion. Faith means a conviction based upon hearing. Last week, we found where he was a man who found his faith because he had and heard a word from the Lord. The acrostic for faith is F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust Him. It was true in the saints of the Old Testament as much as it is true in the lives that you and I live today. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Last week we saw the call of God into Jonah's life. And it's just as God called Jonah, He calls all of us into a personal relationship with Him. One on one. And the thing about it is true then and now is that God always looks beyond our faults and sees our needs. He sees the person that we can become if we just learn to walk in faith with Him. He transforms us from the inside out. Which is why a lot of times when people look at people who have come to Christ and they look at the way they may appear physically and from all practical purposes, the same. But if you listen to their voice and look into their eyes, watch the way they do what they do, you can tell that Jesus has made a difference. As someone said, His presence makes the difference. The trappings of the old life slowly fall away, and the new man, which is on the inside being renewed day by day, begins to come forth. The writer of the New Testament said this, but He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. The writer of Hebrews says, we walk by faith and not by sight. And in order for us to grow and become the men and women, the boys and girls that God is looking for, our faith must be tested. It must be developed. When you look at this text that we have today, Judges chapter 6, starting at verse number 24 and going down to verse number 32, you find a test of faith in the life of the man Gideon. Judges chapter 6, starting at verse number 24, reads as follows. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abrazarites. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord said unto him, and so it was because he feared his father's household and the men of the city that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask for wisdom and the ability to speak in tones that are clear and easily understood, from pulpit all the way back to the door, that the words of your text may lodge in our hearts and bring forth that which you desire in all of our lives, change, growth, conversion. We pray for that man, that woman, that boy, that girl that knows you not in the free pardon of sin, that they might understand what the gift of God is, eternal life in your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask for preaching power and listening grace in Jesus' name, and we'll fail not to give you the honor, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our thought for today is simply two words. Night moves. Night moves. And there's three things I want you to think about as we look at this text. One is the political climate. The second is the personal cost. And the third is a powerful challenge. As you know, last week, Gideon was somebody who, like a lot of people, when God calls them and puts them on the spot, could come up with a whole list of reasons why they're not qualified and why they shouldn't be the one and they should be somebody else. When God spoke to Gideon and called him the mighty man of valor, he said, you know, I am the least in my father's family, and, you know, I'm insignificant in our tribe. You know, it's just not really... Why are you picking me? I don't understand why, you know, you're looking at me. He says, we're just poor people in the family of Manasseh. He says, you know, I'm nobody. I think you should find somebody that everybody knows and everybody respects and everybody thinks a whole lot of, you know, that has some recognition and some name quality, you know, because when they speak, people will listen because people know them. And God said, no, my ways are not your ways, and neither are my thoughts your thoughts. And God always delights to use those things that you and I would never pick. Because we tend to think like Gideon thinks. Well, why don't you go find somebody who's got, you know, pizzazz and pizzizz and some whatever. And, you know, they look like and they sound like. Why don't you go find one of them? Because, you know, they've already got a command audience. And God says, no, I choose to use the things that no one else would use, because one of the things when I pick somebody that no one else would use, when what happens in their lives happens, no one ever would think they would be able to do it on their own. And because no one ever thinks that they would be able to do it on their own, they realize they must have had some help. And they're going to realize by what happens in this person's life, this man, this woman, this boy, this girl, that there is a God who gave them the power to do what they have done. And my name will be glorified, and I will get the glory because people know Gideon, he's an afterthought. You know, if I was going to pick anybody to do anything, that would be the last guy I would pick to do anything. The political climate was such that it's really strange, the parallel between that time and this time. If you read the book of Judges, and you get down to the last chapters, you find interesting words. Because basically what it says is that these were people who had no king, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It's a lot like living in America today, where we don't want any remembrance or reminder of God, and people are going about making up their own rules about who they are and how they want to live life, and I dare you to challenge me because I can do what I want to do. Don't tell me I'm wrong. If this is what I feel, if this is what I believe, and I feel it's right for me, who are you to come up with a standard and say that there is a God to serve and a hell to shun and a devil to fear and a Christ to live for? I don't believe in your God. I don't believe in your hell. I don't believe in your Jesus. I don't believe in your devil. This is all we've got in this life, and I'm going to do what I want to do because we sang it in the 60s and we're living it in the 21st century. If it feels good, do it. It's my thing. I'm going to do what I want to do. Now, all of that is said over the fact that supposedly this is a Christian nation, but the political climate back in those days was these were people who said they named the name of God. They were the children of Israel. They were supposed to have had those, not suggestions, but commandments written in their hearts as well as in their buildings, and they were supposed to know the Ten Commandments. And the first four deal with God, and one of them says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. They were not supposed to be practicing what's known as idolatry, which is worshiping something or somebody else in the place of God. All the homage, all the reverence, all the fear, all the respect, all the adulation, all the praise, all the whatever is directed at something or somebody else instead of God. And God said, you shall have no other gods before me. But what do you find? You have people who, how many of you like history? It has been said that those who don't like history are doomed to repeat the mistakes of the past because mankind tends to run on a circular track. And when you read the book of Judges, you find the nation of Israel was running on a circular track. They would sin. They would be punished. They would cry out for deliverance. God would send a deliverer, a judge, to get rid of their enemies. And for a period of time, that person would have authority. And then, as things got to be good, they said, hey, I think we sang this song. Come on, baby, let the good times roll. What I've done by myself. I didn't do it by the grace of God, by the power of God, by the whatever of God. I've done what I've done. I don't need God. I'm okay. And once we started saying, I don't need God, then something else comes in and takes the place of God because we are designed to worship somebody. And that is to be God himself. And we do not exist in a vacuum, which means if we decide, like they did, to take God out of our lives, then something else will take its place and become our God. But what do you mean? It can be anything. It can be our job. It can be our money. It can be our house. It can be our possessions. It can be our families. It can be our wives. It can be our husbands. It can be our friends. It can be our fun. It can be anything that we spend all our time thinking about, and the only reason why we exist is for that one thing that really makes us respond. Now, we may come to church and act like we're the frozen chosen, act like our jaws have been shut tight with super glue, and you know, we're not going to let... But, buddy, you get us out there where we find something that we really like, or when the world says it's their God, and we're seduced into that, oh, the mouth opens. Woo, we've got expression. Woo, we've got emotion. Woo, we're excited. But when we come to church, buddy, how you doing? It was happening then, and it can happen today. Baal was a political god. And the thing about Baal was, he was supposed to be the god that if you didn't agree with him, your life was in jeopardy, which means you could be killed. And it's funny that people who named the name of God had the reaction they did to Gideon. I mean, they said that they were servants of the Most High God, but yet they were worshiping a false god. But they didn't even realize what they were doing because they had blinded themselves in their sin. The other thing you find here is it talks about, the instructions are this. Gideon builds an altar to the Lord. He calls it, God is our peace, or Jehovah Shalom. And it came to pass that the same night that he built the altar and that the angel had appeared and then ascended back into heaven, the Old Testament appearance of God in his life. If you remember, the reason why he was afraid was the Israelites had this thought. Moses, up on the mountain, had a desire to see God. And God said, no man can look on my face and live. That is why they believed that if you saw God face to face, you were going to die. Even though it appears that all he saw was an angel of God, but people always were afraid because when they saw angels, they thought it was almost like seeing God, and they were just sure they were going to die. That's why The angel always usually says, and Jesus always usually says to people, fear not. Stop being afraid. Stop fearing a great fear. You have no reason to fear. Put your fear away. Don't fear. Have faith. And so God says, here is what I want you to do. He says, I want you to take your father's young bullock and take a seven bullock, which is 7 years old, and that altar that's out there, that's the Baal, I want you to tear it down. And there's a grove next to it. A grove was also, it was a series of trees or poles that were wooden symbols to the goddess Asherah. And so it was a sign of fertility, among other things, but they worshipped Baal and Asherah. So there was this grove of poles or trees right next to the idol of Baal. And what he was told to do was, you know what? You can't burn something if you don't have any wood. So I want you to knock down the idol of Baal. I want you to build an altar. And then I want you to take the second bullock, which is 7 years old, and I want you to sacrifice it on the altar that you have built. So the political climate was, as you know, if you went against Baal, your life was in your own hands. Your life was in danger because, you know, you didn't dare stand up and speak up against Baal because he was considered a powerful god. That was the political climate in which the nation of Israel, who were still in their own land, existed. So you got people who said that they knew God, said that they worshiped God, said that he was the only one God to be served, serving all these other gods because they had fallen into sin. And every time you and I, just like they fall into sin, it always leads us away from God. Night moves. You know, people in my business like to come out to the park. It is January. Everything is closed. Everything is shut down. Nothing is open. There's no bathroom. There's no water left within the lake. But you're not going to come out and get a drink. You're not going to come out and do anything. So when I drive into the parking lot at 12 o'clock and I see a car sitting there and it's 25 degrees outside and it's not a full moon, it's not any kind of a moon. Just somebody out there in the dark with the engine running, or maybe not the engine running, but something's running. Now, why do I think they're there? Because coming at noon wasn't an option? Oh, no, you can come at noon, and there's be nobody there, but the sun is up, and, you know, people recognize, I saw your car, Lisa. Yeah, don't you drive that, but I didn't recognize the car parked next to yours. What were you doing over there at the lawn train? What? It wasn't me, it wasn't my car. Oh, isn't your plate number D50287? Oh, I think it's 6 on the end. I don't think it was my plate. Isn't your car yellow? No, I think mine's green. Well, is your car out in the parking lot? Oh! But you know, you're going to show up at midnight. Usually there's nobody around. Most, as my grandma used to say, bad things happen after midnight. You need to be home by midnight. Now, that was an ongoing conversation, but my grandma used to say, I told you, if you'd have been home, this wouldn't have happened. People show up in strange places at night because sometimes when people have parties, they don't always have them during the daytime. They may start out in the daytime and then carry on in the night, but the point is people, as I think the Bible put it this way, men love darkness for their deeds are evil. The theory is, if it's dark outside, there is no light, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and nobody will know I'm there because it's dark outside. They're afraid. And here you got a guy who God is trying to work in his life, and he gave him a command, and he said, I want you to knock down the altar to Baal, and I want you to cut down the grove to Asherah, and I want you to take the wood, take the bullock, and build an altar and sacrifice this tonight. So he goes out, and he gets 10 of his servants, and he does what God tells him to do. And it says, he did it at night. Verse 27 says, and it was so because he feared his father's household and the men of the city that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. Because of the political climate, because of how people felt about Baal and how they worshiped Baal, even though they said they knew who God was, he was afraid to do it during the day. He did it at night. So he did what God told him to do, but his fear of man was greater than his faith in God, but he still did what God told him to do. What was the personal cost? You know, when we serve Christ, it's going to cost us something. In this case, you find that it says that everybody got up the next day and they smelled smoke. And they went outside and they saw a bullock, or the remains of one, still smoldering on an altar. And then they looked over and, oh my goodness, vandals! Someone's come in and took the altar to Baal, and the groves are, who, what? You know how it is. You start asking questions. You go down to the truck stop and say, did you hear what happened? Did you know anything? You know, somebody got broken into last night. Anybody know anything about that? Anybody see anything? Anybody, you know, what's going on? So the buzz, you know how it is. I found this to be true in my own life. You don't get away with anything. Now maybe you all think you do, but I've learned there's no sense in trying. God has seen it, and soon it will be revealed, and what was known by one will be known by all. When I first went to work at Rocky Fork and I was driving around, working my way around the lake, I didn't think anything about it. I drove in somebody's driveway, I think just to turn around. And by the time I got back to the office, the phone call, what's he doing in my driveway? What's he want? And I'm like, pulled in. I didn't want anything. And, you know, I remember one time I was over at South Beach and we used to have these 33-gallon trash barrels. And I was going around the little loop and I backed up and I wedged the barrel underneath the back end of my car. And so I'm trying to get it out and I'm back there pulling and tugging and pulling and tugging. And finally I get it out and I set it back up and this little guy pops up over the bank and been fishing. He goes, hi there. Like, where'd you come from? Well, I was just here fishing, but you know what? This will be our little secret. I won't tell anybody what I just saw you do. And even today, I find that, you know, the boss, I heard you were at, well, who told you that? Oh! My point is when things happen, people like to think, well, it was dark outside. Nobody saw us. Oh, really? You didn't see the person going to the bathroom and have to pull back the curtain and saw you drive by at just the time that happened? You didn't see them. They saw you. The Bible says what has been done in the dark will come to the light. Even things that we do, like secret agents for God, we go out and do something for God, and nobody's going to know. People go, well, I heard about you, Randy, the other day. And she went out and did such a, who told you? Oh, don't worry about it, but we heard.
We've got our eye on you.
Personal cost. A political climate said that anybody that opposed Baal was in danger of losing their life. And that was the personal cause because everybody got up and they said, who did this? And they said, we know it was Joash's son, that young guy, that the baby, Gideon. Bring him out here that he may die. Now, if you knew that living for Christ was going to cost you your life, would you go out in the daylight or would you be like Gideon? And you say,
well, you know, I don't know why he was afraid. He had God on his side. He had the Holy Spirit empowering. All he was afraid of, really?
Let me take you to some third world countries where naming the name of Christ is a reason for being killed. Let me take you to some Muslim nations where they hate Christianity, anything to do with Christians. They just as soon as shoot you, stab you, kill you, as look at you. Well, I've got faith. Okay. It's easy to have faith in here. Everybody says, oh, yes, I believe. We're inside the four walls. We all believe God. God is good. Yes, we've got faith. We've got faith. Okay. It's easy to have faith in here. Let's put you on the battlefront where you actually have to stand. Would you be like in the days of the martyrs when the Romans would take them and say, renounce or burn? If you renounce the name of Christ, if you curse your God, you can live. You said God is all-powerful, God can do anything but fail and lie. Let's see what he's going to do for you now. If you read the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you find that there were many people who were not delivered, but suffered and died for their faith. So, you know, we don't want to get so hard on Gideon. Oh, you know, the guy just needs to grow up. But he's growing, and this is a test that he's going through. He's going to come out the other side. But the personal cost was after he did what he did, his life was threatened. But his dad stands up, and he gives a powerful challenge. And he says, and Joash said to all that stood against him, he said, you know what? Why are you all standing up for Baal? You all are always talking about Baal is all powerful. You know, Baal, there were 23 different names that were assigned or attached to Baal. There was Baal, and then there's Baal with a hyphen. And all these little things meant different things depending on who you were and how you practiced this religion. It depended on your interpretation. Just like in verse number 24, when he builds the altar, Gideon does, it's called Jehovah Shalom, or God is our peace. You know, there's Jehovah Nisi, the God is my banner. There's all kinds of names in the Old Testament where Jehovah's name is named and something is attached, which means something that God has done, some characteristic of his that is attributed to him. Well, the same thing was true with all these little false gods. They also had all these little attributes that were attached to their names. But Joash says, you know what? If Baal is who you say he is, you know, it's really funny that you guys who know that the Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, you guys who know that the Bible says there's four commandments to deal with God, why are you so hot and so heavy on Baal? You know, it's really strange that people who say they're living for God are looking to Satan for answers. And he says, you know what? Here's the bottom line. If Baal is who he say he is, if Baal is what you say he is, if Baal can do what you say he can do, you all don't need to take care of my son Gideon. If he's as powerful a God as you say he is, he'll take care of Gideon himself. He says, will you save him? Let him that will plead for Baal, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. For if he be a God, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Put up or shut up. You don't have to do Baal's bidding. Let Baal take care of himself. Therefore, on that day, his father changed his name. He called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him because he hath thrown down his altar. Have you ever seen people who get nicknames because of things that happen to them in their lives? And for the rest of their lives, they are known by that nickname. And anybody that knows them by the nickname. Ellsworth Cook at the truck stop was known as the biggest farmer in Highland County because he was a large frame person. I was talking to my friend Mr. Satterfield, David, and he said, well, you know, you don't always know what your nickname is. Everybody else knows what your nickname is, but you know, you may not have heard it, but everybody knows you. When they speak that name, they say, oh, we know who that is. That's old so-and-so. Well, he got a different name because of what he did for God. Zerubbabel. Let Baal plead for himself. This was the guy, when people looked at him, he said, that's the guy that took down the altar of Baal. And he's still walking and he's still talking. A powerful challenge is the fact that if God is who he is, and God can do what he says he can he protect us when we are faithful to do what he's called us to do? And the answer is, maybe yes, maybe no. When we stand for God, does that mean we will always survive and come out without any hair singed, without any smell of smoke on our clothes, like the three Hebrew boys? No. Some people died in the fire. Some people were delivered from the fire. We have a song we sing about that, but my point is if we trust God, it's going to be all right. Because as he tests our faith and gives us a powerful challenge, the challenge is do we trust him enough to live for him and live with the consequences? We sang this song, Change My Heart. And that's a constant battle because we always like to play it safe. We always like to have it secure. We always like to have all the answers. We always like to have it under control. But sometimes when we live for God, we've got to step out on faith and be who he wants us to be and let God take care of the circumstances because we know that God is going to take care of us. Night moves. Did it at night because he didn't want to be found during the day. What about you and me? How do we live our Christian life? Are we full of night moves that we do what we're going to do because we don't want anybody to see us? We think anybody's going to know because we're afraid of man? The point is faith replaces fear. Even though he was afraid of man, he still had faith in God to do what God called him to do, and he did what the Lord told him to do. And the Lord blessed him. And the Lord will bless you, and the Lord will bless me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be reminded of Gideon. He trusted you. And because he trusted you, you worked things out for your glory and for his good. So for those who are sitting here saying, well, what does that mean to me? It means that in the big things and the little things and everything between the decisions that we make to live for you, help us learn from Gideon that our faith is being tested to make it stronger. So Father, help us to realize that it's tested to help us to trust you, the God that can never fail and the God that can never lie. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen.